Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Well, it only seems like 10 minutes ago that we were recording the end of season Why Awaits Us, but we're back again in midsummer with a new episode as there's been a bit of big news coming out of Manchester City. This is your City podcast from The Athletic. I'm David Mooney. Sam Lee is with me. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
And we have a big transfer to talk about, don't we, Sam?
Yeah, as I put it last week, it's the only announcement that City fans should care about.
Yeah, because Paul Byas has joined The Athletic as well. Here he is. Hi, Paul.
Hello, guys. How are you? I'm not sure it's a safe thing to put that kind of pressure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it, where you get a new sign in it and all the eyes are on them straight away. So I hope you're relaxed and ready to go.
Yeah. I'm not going to score like 35 goals a season, but I'm quite relaxed.
Yeah. Right. You can read everything on City and more in The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just go to theathletic.com/mancitypod and sign up. You get these podcasts without the ads as well. So just sign up at theathletic.com/mancitypod. Paul, I'm going to give you the first shot of the sure. answer for this podcast, because it's done. It's announced. It's over the line. City have got a striker for next season.
Yeah, finally. I mean, it's been like a long way because City has been looking for a striker like for at least three transfer windows. But I think that in the club, they were aware that not all the strikers make the cut to play for Man City at the minute right now. And as soon as Kane wasn't an option last summer, I think that Haaland was the main guy, was the main target. They had it quite clear on all their minds. And that's why they've been working on during all the last season. And I think that City did business quite well and quite swiftly. So, good shout for them.
Yeah. Sam, I'm not normally a fan of those quirky announcements, but I enjoyed the one this week, the recreation of the old photo.
Yeah, I knew they were going to do that. I was looking forward to it. When I asked somebody, I was like, you got to do this shortly.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh yeah, I think they are, kind of thing. And yeah, it was good when they did it. This is a really niche thing, but I'm going to say it anyway. But on those videos, like the interviews, the thing that I always enjoy most is the fact that it's Rob Pollard asking the questions. Like, I love it. Like, I really do love it. It's just like, because obviously we know Rob. You know, Rob used to be a journalist on the outside. Now he's obviously a journalist working for City. Just a great guy, and it's just great to hear his voice doing all these interviews when it's like Pep or new signings, and especially when it's Haaland, like, because Haaland is obviously the first big superstar signing for City, and arguably the biggest one in the Premier League. I still think that. So yeah, that's good, and yeah, I enjoyed all the videos. Is there an Inside City out today?
Because there is. I haven't seen it yet either, which is not a good precedent really for sitting down to record a podcast. But here we are.
I have seen it. If you need like any important information in here.
Well, I mean, we could start as we mean to go on with this working relationship, Paul. And if you can tell me what happens, and then we can put both our names to it, then
it'll work very well. They're like quite interesting bit. Actually, when you see him hanging out with Ruben Dias, with Aymeric Laporte in Ramon Cugat's office in Barcelona,
Oh, he's not injured already, is he?
Yeah, well, no, I don't think so. But yeah, it would be a good start if he's not injured already.
That sounds nice. I'm definitely going to watch, because I enjoyed the Grealish one. Yeah, I really enjoyed Grealish the Grealish one.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me, I'm still not going around to watching that either. So
really? The Grealish one's good. I remember watching that with a horrible hangover in some city nowhere near, well, some town nowhere near fucking London, with a massive hangover in a McDonald's, like feeling terrible, having sent voice notes to people the night before, like loving ones, but embarrassingly loving ones. just feeling sorry for myself watching the Grealish thing. And I was like, that's good. So I'll watch the Haaland one. But apparently when Haaland was like just pottering around the training ground last week or 2 weeks ago, getting his shirts done and that, he was just kind of just not really saying much to anyone. And, you know, some of his answers were pretty short, weren't they? And like, when I went to Norway to speak to people who know him, like, I kind of got an explanation for why that is. And they were just like, we don't really talk too much around here, because 150 years ago, we were all farmers and we just worked like 14 hours a day and went to bed. And he was like, that's still part of like our DNA and stuff. So it's like, okay, fine. But yeah, apparently he was just kind of going about the place not looking amazingly enthused or whatever. So I wonder how I guess they'll have to cut that out of the city, like inside city stuff, because it doesn't really give the right message. But obviously, you know, he is really excited. And he, on his Twitter and his Instagram, there was a picture last night and he was like, I've tweeted a lot today, but this is how excited I am. Yeah. Which I don't imagine for 1 second is him. But the fact that he's kind of sanctioned somebody to say it is nice. You know, I just have to put that spin on it, because I'm so kind of dubious of people's footballers like social media output. But the fact that was the image he wanted to portray, not just, you know, I am the king, I am here, but I'm really excited to be here, I thought that was
really nice. Paul, I'm just thinking back to last August or so. Did you get a loving voice note off Sam? Because I didn't.
Oh no, I've never got a loving voice note from Sam, to be honest. Yeah.
I'm just feeling a bit left out. That's all, Sam. But Paul, I'm just wondering: is he going to wear Dad 15 like in the back of that 2001 City shirt?
I don't think so. If I have to make a bet, I don't think so. No, I think that the number is quite not an issue here, but I think that it's something that the player and his camp has had in mind. As we did on The Athletic last week, it's a thing that the club has been considering in terms of like launching like a meet and greet, like a big event for Haaland, in terms of like introducing him to the fans, because having like a shirt number in the day that he's being introduced to the fans is like a massive thing in terms of selling, in terms of marketing. So it's hard to tell now, because nothing has happened in terms of transfers going out. But if things go as everything is pointed, like Gabriel Jesus, there's been a lot of speculation about his future. He could leave Man City. I think that the right call, or just the normal thing, is just to pass the number 9 to the best number 9 for the next decade, right?
Yeah. I'm interested, Paul, as well, because me and Sam talked about this at the end of last season. Should we be a bit wary of just expecting him to come in and batter the league left, right and centre? Should we kind of be prepared to give him that bedding in time?
I think that he will need that. He will need that. But at the same time, I think that probably Bernardo Silva, Jack Grealish, they need it probably more, because they move around like a certain areas of the pitch that are quite important in Pep's style. I think that Haaland, he really knows the role that he's going to play. He's going to play like in a certain position. Of course, he's going to have to drop a bit into the middle to start being a bit linked up with the play and stuff. But I think that a specific role that Haaland is going to have to do is going to make things easier in terms of adaptation, in terms of this bedding in time. But yeah, of course, I would suggest like to give him some patience, some room for something. But in his career, I think that he has proved everyone that he's ready to break those kind of records and all the expectations that people can have on him.
Yeah, Sam, it's kind of a similar situation to maybe Aguero under Pep, that sort of first season.
Absolutely, yeah. Similar, yeah, for sure. So, me and Paul kind of wrote an article similar to that this morning, because I didn't want to do another how will he fit in, because
he'll fit in and score lots of goals.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like, when the deal was first announced, we had like Alan Shearer analyzing him, and I was like, well, I'm not really going to be able to give much more insight than that, unlike a technical striker level. And obviously, we've had the John Muller why things might not work out, yeah, which everybody's reacted to very sensibly. So I thought I don't need to do another kind of, okay, well, he does this and he does that. Also, not in that kind of time frame anyway. First day back from holiday, I'm not going to be getting the graphs out. So we just did the adaptation, because I know it would be easy to think, and, you know, I've had conversations where people have said, oh, you know, maybe Sterling plays alongside him up front. You know, they play two men, or maybe they go to three at the back, or maybe they use, like, if they sign Cucurella, maybe he attacks from the left, like wide left back, puts crosses in and stuff. But it's not going to be that. It's like Paul just said, you'd have to, I think the biggest adaptation initially would just be, okay, will you drop deep to lay off passes like Kane can do, and like Julian Alvarez can do. Julian Alvarez can do that perfectly. It's just whether he, you know, jumps the massive gap from Argentina to the Premier League straight away.
He'd also need time as well, though, surely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in terms of like playing style, and I wrote this, I mean, we've barely had a summer break in terms of this podcast. So I might have written the article before we even did the last podcast. But I do think Julian Alvarez, stylistically, is better suited to City already than Haaland. But in terms of suited to City and ready to hit the ground running, of the two, Haaland is, you know, somebody who's moved clubs already, is a better player, you know, has played at top level European football, Champions League, that kind of thing. He's obviously ready to go. But in terms of dropping off and being a kind of false nine and a number nine at the same time, which is what Guardiola wanted Kane for, like Alvarez is perfect at that, and Haaland's just going to have to learn that a bit. And then if he can't kind of bring it up to that level, those little layoff passes or whatever, the link-up passes, then Guardiola will start making tweaks to the team to help Haaland adapt, which kind of, that kind of goes to show the size of the transfer, doesn't it? Because normally it's like, if you're not adapting in your first season, then it's like, well, you can be on the bench for a bit while I'll go with the players that are working. But like, if Guardiola is going to be like, okay, well, I'll start making a few more changes here to make sure this works, then it just kind of go to show that, like, how big a transfer is. But yeah, to go back to the original question, which I didn't acknowledge whatsoever, the Aguero thing. It's, yeah, exactly. Aguero was, even though he'd been at City already, it shows that it doesn't matter if you've already played in the Premier League or even for City for like 6 years. You need to know what Guardiola wants you to do. And Aguero was an absolute bagsman before, but he needed to make better runs off the ball. He needed to press better. He needed to be more involved in the game because, you know, remember when he scored a hat-trick against Bayern Munich? Yeah. When Bayern manager, they were like, well, Aguero's done nothing in this game whatsoever. And then he came alive and scored a hat-trick. But that's not enough for Guardiola. You need to you need to be active in every phase of the game. But like Haaland, I think he's a better presser already.
Probably
the runs, not so much the movements. His attacking movements and Aguero's attacking movements are amazing. It's just kind of syncing them up to what Guardiola wants. And then it's in this case the link-up play. But at the start, Guardiola wasn't sure if Aguero would or could do what he wanted him to do. And there was obviously that friction for like 18 months. And then obviously in the end it went brilliantly. But as we put in the article earlier, mainly thanks to Paul on this, I have to say, there was a conversation. There's obviously been several conversations between Haaland and Guardiola. But the first one, when they spoke on the phone, it was, Paul, you can say, but it was basically Haaland saying, how am I going to fit in, and Guardiola telling him.
Yeah. It was basically Haaland being interested in what was Pep's vision of him and of the team and how he could fit in there. And Pep was really optimistic on that. And, I mean, we can agree that he did a good sell because at the end of the day, Haaland ended up coming. I think that another key angle in here is that Haaland and Kun, they are like a different stages of their careers when they have been handled by Pep. Kun was already like a proven goal scorer here at City. He had done what he had done at Manchester City. I think that Haaland is 21, almost 22 now. He's hungry to win, to run, to score goals. It's the thing that Pep loves, like working with young players that have this big desire to win trophies and just to be great. And I think that this will help in terms of making Haaland and Pep find the right mix, find the right spot, find the right middle term to make him fit into this team. Plus, I think that probably now when we look at City, we look at like a really a specific team because City has won the last two Premier Leagues without the striker, without the number nine. But the fact of having a number nine is not going to just influence Man City, but it's going to have an effect like on the opponents. I think it's going to change how the opponents probably defend City because Haaland will make centre-backs like be more stable in the middle of the defence. So I think it's going to be like not just City will have to adapt, but other teams are going to like find like new struggles to cope with City as well.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw what I tweeted yesterday, but I should have known this signing was coming because I in November 2020 I asked his dad Alfie if he'd do an interview for the Blue Moon podcast, and he didn't respond.
That's amazing, this.
And then in March last year I followed it up, just saying basically, "Hi Alfie, have you seen this message? Would you be up for a chat?" And his reply basically it's the most two-footed I've ever been or off a football pitch.
It isn't.
Hi, David. No, not really. And then the massive grinning emoji. Greatest knockback I've ever had.
It's amazing. I pissed myself when I saw it. And I wanted to reply, but I didn't. But like, it's more of a reply than a lot of journalists would have gotten in the last 6 months.
It's fantastic.
You say you've been two-footed. I was speaking to Jack about this at lunch. It's the perfect reply for somebody who doesn't want to do it. Because you're either, at that level, you're either going to be just ignored. Or somebody's like, "Oh yeah, mate, I don't know, or I can't do it," or they'll commit to it but not do it. And that's basically it. You know, in terms of rejections, that's pretty much what you're going to get.
Yeah,
you're not going to get somebody straight up saying, "No, not really." But also, he didn't do it in a rude way. Like,
no, it's the kind
of way that I wish I could say no to things. Like, yeah, just in all honesty, no, I don't want to do it. But like in a kind of... that's life kind of way. And that smiley, that emoji, like makes that plain. I thought it was perfect. And I don't think it's two-footed at all. I mean, being honest.
In the interest of honesty, we did actually have a conversation after that in the text that I've cropped it out for privacy reasons, but he's really nice and he was really nice about it all, but it was just, I don't fancy doing this. So in the back of my head, I do wonder if I've been quite relaxed about City's striker situation off the back of that exchange. Knowing that that maybe one of the reasons he didn't want to do it was the headline story that I would obviously ask about. So,
when was it again?
That was in March 21.
Oh, right. Okay. Maybe not.
So it might be a bit early.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Sam, I'm going to turn over to you sent me a lot of audio because you went to Haaland's hometown where he grew up. Correct my pronunciation. It's Breena, is it?
Yeah, Breena.
You wanted to find out more. What was it like there?
Yeah, really good. If you go to like European trips or whatever for European games, like I remember going to Hoffenheim, and you end up going nearby, and like in Hoffenheim, there's just nothing. Like, there's nothing there. It's kind of like what I saw of it, an industrial estate, basically. But so you end up going to Heidelberg, which is a nice little town with, you know, cafes and churches and stuff, and it's nice. But, like, if you'd gone to Hoffenheim, you'd just be like, well, this is shit, there's nothing about. And, like, Breen has got, like, 12,000 people. And like, I'm from Leamington Spa, which has got, I don't know, like, 100,000 or something. I'd say that's small. But, like, Breen has got, like, 12,000 people. But you'd think it's tiny, there must be nothing to do. But it was more like there was stuff to do. Like if you were there for two nights for a Champions League game or something, you'd have places to go. But it was just like there was nobody around to do it. And I remember I was walking through the town with the guy who works for Breena Football Club. And I was thinking, there's no one around here. And then just as that point, somebody came around the corner pushing the pram. And I was like, okay, that there is somebody there. And then the guy I was with nodded at him and he went, yeah, that's the goalkeeper for Brina. And I was like, right, okay. I was like, so that's kind of how small this place is. But yeah, nice little place. Like the famous thing that everybody says about basically every place they've ever been to, people really nice and friendly. And the overriding thing that I came away from it is everybody seems to have a link to Haaland.
Yeah, like I was going to say that. Everyone knew him or his family, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. So I swear I've said this already. Sorry if I have, or maybe it was on another podcast. But yeah, so like I went for pizza on the first day, and there was this woman in there who must have been like 60-odd or something. And I was like, well, she's not going to be in. And I was having kind of a loud conversation with the guy who was making pizza in the back, and he was shouting out about Haaland or whatever. So I was kind of just having to like talk loudly to make myself heard. And I was like, she can't be interested. And on the way out, she was like, oh yeah, like I know both sets of grandparents or whatever. I was just like, and like everybody, when I went into a bar with the guy from the club and there was only one guy in there who he knew, they were talking. And I was like, everyone's got a link to Haaland in this place. And the guy at the bar was like, shook his head, like, no, not really. And I put this in the article. And then I was like, what, not you? And he was like, well, he goes, he was in a different year and a different subject, but like I do teach it in school. And I'm like, fuck, like everyone, like everyone knows this kid. Or, and like, I spoke to like a group of like 14, 15 year olds who were at the stadium the day after, because they'd been there for like a training session. And like one of the kids, was it his dad was Haaland's teacher. Half of them were taught or are taught currently by Haaland's mom at the moment. One of the kids, it's like the lad he plays with on his team, his older sister is Haaland's girlfriend. Like all this kind of thing. And this was just like a group of like 10 lads that I managed to like start speaking to. Yeah, it's mad. So it's a nice little place, plenty of stuff to do, really quiet, and everyone seems to know him.
Yeah, I'm going to play this. This is a little clip of, I'm going to get pronunciations wrong in this podcast, but promise me, I promise you I'm trying. Todd Johnson-Salter, who was one of Haaland's teammates at Brina. This was, you did this interview over the phone, Sam. So,
yeah, this was a phone one.
Yeah, you'll have
this to. This was the day after the Atletico Madrid game when I was just like, oh my God. Is this worth never going
to
win?
So you'll have to kind of really listen hard to this, but it is worth listening to. So here's what he said.
We always play something we call the World Cup. 2 versus 2 at one goal and 3 teams or 4 teams. It depends how many is joining.
Yeah.
That's what we did literally every day. So
I guess now's a good time to bring in Erling. Like, did you play? I guess you played World Cup with him a lot.
Yeah. Loads. Yeah, he was good. He was always good when he was young. He was quite small though. So
yeah,
but he was obviously one of the best. Maybe not the best, but
okay.
But you could see that he could be really good if he grew up and turned out to be the monster he is now. But no one could imagine that to happen though. But he had this, I think that was, like, they gave him an advantage that when he was young, he wasn't so fast, but he was quite small. So when he grew up, like, he had to learn to adapt, to be less physical than the others.
Yeah.
And now that he grew up and became a monster, he can do both, like, now he was so good at getting through on goal every time. Even though he wasn't faster than defenders, he got through on goal every time.
Mm.
And now we can see that he's faster than everyone. He gets through on goal at least every time, because now he knows how to do it without the pace, but now he has the pace as well.
So, Paul, when you consider how he's changed and the fact that he's just kind of turned into this monster, you can't think... In fact, first things first I want to ask you is, me and Sam both identify World Cup as Wembley. What did you call it growing up?
World Cup. I think it was like a Mundialito, which is in Spanish.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like a little World Cup, actually.
Yeah. I'm just interested in those little language sorts of things.
Fair enough.
But what was it, Paul? Was that when you were playing like two asides with one goal? Is that the game you had? Because what it is in the UK, like Wembley. Well, that's what I call it, like Wembley doubles.
No. So in Spain, it's like everyone against everyone, just scoring the same goal.
Yeah, that's Wembley singles, yeah.
cool. Then the last one.
I used
one
to love that man. It was so good.
Yeah, and then the last one that, well, basically the only guy that doesn't score just got eliminated, and then we go to the next round.
Yeah, exactly the same game. I used to play goal for that one, so I was the only one to get the ball, and then people complained at me that I was passing it out to people. But I wasn't. I was booting it in the air. Yeah, I was booting it in the air. Nobody, I wasn't passing it to anyone.
Imagine playing Wembley doubles with Haaland.
I know.
I mean, obviously, like, there's pictures in the article and stuff. He's not massive like he is now, but can you imagine, like, at that age when he was obviously like a proper goal scorer? Although it's interesting, isn't it? Because Todd was like, he maybe wasn't the best player. So
Yeah. That was the best part for me. Probably he wasn't the best player. And look at him now. He's probably the best striker in the world. Yeah, it's kind of difficult to imagine him being a small guy, actually, and just being not like a strong, fast guy. But yeah, I guess that, I mean, that says a lot about how he has worked, right? And his work ethic, how he's like determined to work on himself and just to prove that he can improve, like in every sense of the game.
Yeah, I'm going to play this as well because I thought this was interesting on that side of the development thing. Sam, you spoke to Alf Ingvar Bernsten, who was one of Haaland's first coaches. This bit really stood out to me as a training quality that Guardiola might actually like.
We had very few rules, but one of the rules was attitude and behavior on the pitch and in the wardrobe. Mm. And if we say, don't be a bad guy, and if someone broke that, it had consequences. From quite early age, we gave them a yellow card. And if they didn't stop, they had the red card, they had to sit down. So that was the worst punishment for them.
Because they wanted to play.
Yeah. If in school, they would cheer, yes, I don't have to go to school. But when we did the football, they loved football. So we were consequent that if you break the rules, it will have consequence.
Yeah.
But we never screamed to them. Like with Erling, we had the rule that Erling, if he is on top, it's no problem if you trying to score and make try five times in a row. And you lose the ball, but try. That's okay. But try to win it back. Don't leave it to your other teammates to fix up the problem you solved. So if he was like for the second time losing the ball and he stopped doing this, we just picked him out. Okay. Because in Norway you can take players in and out. And I told him from the side, or not just Alan, all of them, what was the agreement? It's okay to try, it's okay to fail, but it's never okay to give up.
Sam, that speaks to me about what Paul was saying earlier about him, about maybe what trained him into being such a good presser already.
It would have been. Alfie was great. So I met him at the stadium, and he lives like 5-minute walk from the stadium. I was at his house for like 3 hours talking. In fact, I sent you like 3 hours worth of audio, didn't I? So sorry about that. So he was all very good, and like the whole background of how Haaland came through and the youth setup is really interesting. I suppose we can just link people to the article for that. I'm sure people have seen it because, like, even on my Twitter feed, like, it keeps coming up as a promoted article. So I'm sure people have seen it. The algorithm worked in that sense. But the way he talked about how, you know, we told him that you need to go win it back. Like, one of the other coaches I spoke to, who we'll hear from later on, he was a bit more candid in terms of, basically, there were periods where if Haaland lost it, it'd just stand and moan at his teammates and not bother trying. And like, it'd be like angry with other people. So that's why, like, Alfie wouldn't say that, because I think he was being quite protective and was just, you know, being cautious of how I might spin it or whatever. But that was the reality of it. Like, he would get angry and pissed off if he didn't get the right pass or if he lost it or whatever. So yeah, they had to kind of drill into him to try and win it back. And at the start of the clip, he talks about him being a good guy and a good teammate and stuff. I remember when the Haaland news was kind of confirmed by City, it was around the time that there was that Patrice Evra quote about, you know, Guardiola doesn't like strong characters and all of that, which I've talked about enough. You know, it's bollocks. But I was asked about, because it was the same week that those things were happening, they were like, well, Haaland's kind of a big superstar and a strong character, and Pep normally doesn't sign these guys. I was like, yeah, but like, he's not a dick. Like, he might be a strong character, but like, he's not a bell end. And that's the problem. Like, I think what people don't realise, and maybe what Ibrahimovic doesn't realise, is you're a ballon, mate.
I wonder if that was where you were going with that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know. But it's like, it's not big egos. It's not strong characters. Like, it's are you a problem in the dressing room? And it's like, okay, maybe Guardiola didn't deal brilliantly with how he kind of communicated the decision to Ibrahimovic. In fact, according to Ibrahimovic, it was terrible, you know, just kind of really ignored him. And it's not the kind of way you'd want to be treated at work. And that's bad. But the reason Ibrahimovic was dropped was so Lionel Messi could flourish and become the best player in the world. And he did. So I don't know why people are still arguing about it. And it, honestly, it got to a stage by the end of the season that if I saw that fucking Ibrahimovic quote about starring characters one more time, I was going to scream. Like, it's just such bollocks. And you got serious journalists going, oh, yes, well, there is this thing that Ibrahimovic said about, it doesn't fucking matter. And also, like, that book was heavily embellished anyway, wasn't it? Like, it's a fact that the ghostwriter of Ibrahimovic's book kind of, I don't know if it, like, dramatized it or whatever, but it wasn't the usual process of, I'm going to sit down with you and tell you my story and you go and write it. It was kind of like, I'm going to tell you some bits and you can go and fill in the blanks kind of situation. Like, it was, yeah. So I'm not, yeah, I don't know. It was a weird one. It was a weird one. But yeah, so Haaland, yeah, okay. He's a particular character, isn't he? Like, some of the answers on that interview were short. You know, he doesn't speak a lot. We've seen interviews. He doesn't speak a lot. He is a superstar, but like says, and like some of these clips say, you know, he's always wanted to work hard and improve himself. And yeah, like Paul said earlier, he's gone from being small and skinny and probably being good enough anyway to get those chances in the box and score goals. But at some point, obviously nature's kicked in because his older brother's an athlete and he's big and strong and fast and whatever. But also he's gone, well, I'm going to work on my body to the point where, like Todd said, I've got the technical ability anyway, but then I'm going to add physique on top of it and no one's going to be able to stop me. So that's what you need to know, I think.
Paul, the whole thing about the question has always been kind of how much City have to adapt and how much he has to adapt to fit in at City and Guardiola City and all this sort of stuff. I'm just wondering, when we kind of hear how he has developed anyway, it kind of, like, I'm hearing nothing but these two are actually a perfect match, come what may. You look at the work rate that he's developed over the years, like you said before, and as Bernstein said there. He is pressing. He is going to get the ball back. He is working hard for the team.
Yeah. I think he is kind of a perfect match. And I think that from all the options that City could consider, like on top of on the front line, considering that there are not many elite strikers in the market, apart from Kane, that of course they saw him last, this kind of false nine that Pep liked it. I think that there's no one better than Haaland on it. I think that if you have to look some downside on his game is this first touch, this capacity to link up. But I think that he will get there. He will get there because this kind of character that we can see in him, this willing to be kind of a weird guy, if you want to say that, like in the dressing room, that he just gets mad if he doesn't win. That's a good thing. That's the thing that Pep likes, because Pep gets mad if he doesn't win too. So they are going to be on the same page. And I think that he will understand, and he's more than aware that if he doesn't fit in how the team wants to play, they are not going to win. So Haaland is going to do whatever it takes just basically to make it work, because it's what he has been doing for all his life.
Yeah. He's always been a goal scorer as well. This is Espen Undheim, Sam, who was another one of his early coaches. Was he slightly later in his career?
Or
slightly earlier?
Yeah, so no, he worked with Alfie, but he came in when Haaland would have been about 12, 13, and I worked with him maybe 13 to like 15, 16, that kind of period.
Yeah. So this is what he said about Haaland as a goal scorer.
He was always in the correct position to score goals. So he didn't always have to do so much at the pitch, but he was always in the right position when the ball was showing up in front of the goal.
Yeah.
So he was scoring a lot of goals when he was 8, 9, 10, when they played 5 against 5. Mm. We do that here in Norway when they are 8, 9 years old, play 5 against 5. So, and he was always the most, when you looked at him, the most important thing was when he had scored a goal, he looked like he had scored the winner goal in Champions League final, because he was
always celebrating
and running around when he was celebrating. So he loved to score goals even when he was 8, 9, 10 years old.
We've all played with one of them though, Sam, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah, they're absolute bastards as well, aren't they? Like, they're horrible to play against. Like, in my experience as well, like, always the manager's son. But not in this case, obviously.
Yeah. Paul, just talking about the fit for City as well. I mean, it literally feels like it's a case of teaching Kevin De Bruyne where Erling Haaland is going to be, and then that's that, isn't it?
Yeah, where to put the ball, basically. Yeah, probably when we look like at highlights videos from Haaland, you just see those goals that he's running all over the pitch, he's running faster than everyone, and then he's just scoring a goal. But I think it was one of the goals that he scored this week against Sweden.
Yeah,
he was just a poacher. Yeah, it was just being like a header, just reading where the cross was gonna end up. Yeah. That's what he's gonna find at City. Just trying to be like 1 second smarter than the defender, trying to anticipate the crosses. And I think that he can do that as well. So probably if we don't see like this exuberant version of Haaland, I think that you don't have to worry either, because he can like do some other stuff like we saw this week with Norway.
Yeah, he played. Am I right in thinking that he gave up handball and athletics, Sam, at the point where he was basically becoming bigger in football, and it was like clear football was the one.
You know, I'm not sure. We didn't talk an awful lot about the other sports he did. We mainly focused on the football. But I mean, it would make sense, wouldn't it? His mom was a heptathlete.
Yeah, his mom was. Yeah.
And he, you know, he's like Rob asked him in that interview, like he had that standing long jump record when he was five years old or whatever. So it was obviously just to kind of go and just do everything, because at that age, when you start out, you never think you're going to be a pro. But yeah, as soon as it comes to the point where it's like, actually you're shit hot at football, then it makes sense to kind of focus on that. I suppose as well, like if he had been, like I kind of assumed before I went and did this that he was like massive when he was a kid. I guess if he was massive when he was a kid, he might have even been like unbelievable at handball as well. But I suppose when you're that kind of size, it probably wouldn't have gone the same. But if he'd have been massive, he probably would have been absolutely formidable at handball as well, I guess.
Yeah.
Like playing basically playing like Peter Schmeichel.
Yeah. Handball is the Olympic sport that I got into in 2018. You know, there's always one Olympic sport that you don't really watch normally, and you go, and the Olympics is on, you go, suddenly I can't miss the archery or whatever. Yeah. It was handball for me, and I ended up buying the PlayStation Handball 2019 game on,
really?
On the PlayStation. Terrible.
It was fucking woeful. Yeah, I couldn't play it. Yeah. But good effort. Yeah. So, I mean, talking about his background there, Paul, we've mentioned that his mother was a heptathlete, obviously his father, a former footballer. Sam asked Alfing Berntsen the question of whether it was genetics or training. This was what his response was.
If it was true that he was born with it, that means if he's grown up in Sahara and the first time he'd been in the pitch, he was scoring a lot of goals. I don't think evolution has been that smart. So
there must be some, like, but that ability to be a quick thinker and to learn.
He has. You have to learn quick, and some of us are slow muscle fibers. Some have
fast twitch.
And Erling has a combined.
In terms of the muscle fibers?
Yeah, he has both much strength and explosiveness, but also have a good part of, he can run quite a lot.
Endurance,
yes. So that's another muscle fiber. Do you have some muscle fiber who provide the endurance and some other explosiveness?
Yeah.
So he has very good combination of these. So Usain Bolt couldn't do football because he is too explosive. So Erling has, but of course he has a special gift to learn from earlier experience, and where the anticipation for where to be come from. That's important. He has special gift to learn because much of the thing he do, he don't think. his
instincts.
Instincts, yes. The instincts is based on earlier repetitions.
Hmm. So, Paul, in terms of City, he makes the right runs. He scores a lot of goals. He's physically, better than pretty much anybody else. And now we turn out he's like a sponge for learning, which is again almost perfect for Guardiola.
Yeah, yeah. Which is something that, I mean, he has to be like that to have the numbers that he's had in his career. I mean, he has to be. It has to be a bit, as you said, like a bit of both, a bit of genetics and a bit of hard work as well. Another thing that I think that is going to add to this Man City team, I mean, we've seen Man City in the last two seasons, especially Pep saying like in pressers and on the previews of the games, that City were not a team just to counterattack because they didn't have Leroy Sané anymore. They didn't have like these really fast, quick players on the wings that can handle like a quick transition. I think that Haaland does now. I think that Haaland gives the team like a focus up front, just to, if they have the chance, just to run, kick the ball, just look for him on the spaces, and he's just gonna beat his rival if he got the space. So he's gonna give like another register, like when City had this front line with Leroy Sané, Kun, and Raheem Sterling at the peak of his powers. I think that it's gonna bring another dimension to the attack, and it's something that probably City needed somehow. So I think it's gonna be good.
I'd not even thought of that, Sam. The idea that City could get to the halfway line and have a 2-on-3 and decide 3-on-2, sorry, and decide actually no, we're not gonna boot it round and keep possession of it. We are actually gonna break this time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, it's not something that City get a lot of opportunities to do, but it is obviously something that comes up. We've talked about in the past how they seem like they choose not to do it, especially like if it's, let's say they're 1-0 up in the Champions League quarterfinal against PSG or something. They're not going to want to risk the counter-attack going the other way, but it'll be interesting to see how that does affect it. But also, I'm genuinely looking forward to him playing. And the thing, one of the specific things I'm looking forward to him doing, as much as like just scoring a clever goal inside the box, like that header against Sweden that Paul mentioned, is him or somebody getting the ball on the halfway line, whether it's De Bruyne or Foden or whoever, or even Haaland. And Haaland's there, basically, and everyone in the stadium stands up. Because there's a break on, and oh my God, they're going to give it to the big fast lad who's really good at scoring goals. It's just going to be it's just going to be really exciting. And
do you know what I thought of then? Yeah. I don't know if you remember this goal, but there was a goal that Yaya Toure scored against West Ham in the League Cup semi-final, where he picked it up on halfway, and he had him and Roger Johnson were just running towards the West Ham goal, and it was just like, it was like watching a train running at a child. It was just like there was no competition at all, and I've just had that image of Haaland like against pretty much any centre back in the league.
I don't remember that one, but it is just going to be that feeling of, it could just be like unbelievable, like almost like this isn't fair kind of thing. Yeah. But what I was going to say as well is, I don't know, I don't want to project how I feel onto like a stadium full of people, but I do get the feeling that if City have a one-on-one, when you've got enough time to gather your thoughts and think, oh God, I hope he scores this. But like naming names, if it's Sterling or Jesus, you're probably not that confident. I know I'm not. But all of a sudden now, if Haaland goes through on goal, I'm not saying he's going to score every time, because even this guy misses chances. But it'll just be nice to think, oh, this, come on, like you don't dread it as it's happening. And I suppose it might be similar with penalties as well, because if he starts taking the penalties, then you also don't get that feeling of, oh God, who's going to miss this one?
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the team's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham, all new, Thursdays on FX, stream on Hulu.
Paul, I just on the one-on-one thing, I think it's I think it's possibly a difference of because even when when Aguero went through, for instance, the number of times Aguero would go through one-on-one with a goalkeeper, you'd go, right, this is an opportunity. And as Sam says, with players like Sterling and Jesus, you're thinking your actual thought process is, please don't miss this. It's a very subtle difference, and I can see it with Haaland as well.
Yeah, I mean, if we have to be fair, I think that the one-on-one situation has been what have kept City away to be in the final of the Champions League. The one-on-one situation in the semi-final of the Champions League, where I can remember Grealish, I can remember Mahrez on the first leg. So you expect that if these kinds of situations end up in Haaland's feet, I mean, there's going to be a no miss in there. Plus, there's what Sam was saying a bit, but the fear factor. I mean, the fear factor is like key in terms of how the opponents face him or just how they approach him in terms of marking him. I can't remember like the tie that Man City played against Borussia Dortmund on the first leg, this run of Haaland that he just pulled apart Ruben Dias at the peak of
God,
his powers.
Yeah.
That was massive.
He actually ragdolled him, didn't he?
Yeah, and I can remember that it was like an empty stadium, but all the people in there was like, Jesus, what he has done. So this is the kind of thing that I expect in like in the Premier League as well. And with a full stadium, I get that, or I understand that we're going to get this roar or this expectation like in the full version.
Yeah, there's a different energy.
There's a different energy when certain players score. Like if it's a local player, and obviously like if Foden scores, picked up on this and I tweeted it, but when Fernandinho was playing towards the end of the season and he was getting about and still tackling people, I think there was maybe a bit of trepidation because the fans were maybe initially thinking, oh God, I hope he can still get there. And then he does and you just think, oh, I love that guy.
There is definitely that
energy, isn't there, where you've kind of got, everyone likes every kind of City player basically, but everyone's got their favourites. But I think Haaland's immediately going to be, if he starts scoring, if he's got like three goals after like two Premier League games and then he starts getting more and more, it's going to be like, this guy is just unbelievable. You'll be celebrating, but if it's like the first, second, third goal against like Southampton at home at 3 p.m. on a Saturday or whatever, and you'll just be looking at each other going, fuck me, this guy's unbelievable. That's how I kind of imagine a lot of the season going.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about his attitude as well, because what I took from your interviews as well, Sammy, is that he is a winner. This is what Alf Ingvar Bjørnsen said about his attitude, basically, about him being a winner.
When you are dealing with winners, you have to, as a coach, accept that they hate to lose. Mm. Winner heads don't like second place. Here was a quite big tournament in Denmark. Erling is there, he's not very happy. But the achievements were quite good, but really hate to lose. Just one is smiling.
Yeah.
And he came from another team. He wasn't used to get as far as this in the tournaments. So I like that.
Yeah.
But they had to behave after the matches. You have to respect the opponents, they're better than us, and try even harder in the next coming years for not to lose next time. So it's important to get now. For me, this is very good, but I won't let them just walk in the wardrobe or destroy the wardrobe. They have to behave, respect the opponent, but train even harder not to get this feeling
again.
Yes, and that's maybe for the winners. Mentality.
Has he always been like that?
Yeah, from 6-7 years old.
And then an example of the same from Espen Undheim.
To win was everything. Also, to score goals, the most important. Maybe some of the other guys. Okay, we can. We are here to have fun. Mm. We are here to just try to have some good hours together. But he had, with his mind, there was always something that he said that I wanna score goals. I wanna celebrate after scoring goals. so there was something. And also, when he didn't succeed, when he didn't score the obvious goals, he was very angry. If he didn't get the right pass from a mate, he was angry because you have to look up. I'm in the right position for scoring goals,
yeah.
But you didn't pass me. So he was, if he didn't succeed, he was could be a bit... angry, and not always for the other guys, but also if he didn't manage to score easy goals, he was angry by himself because he wasn't good enough in that position. So he had a mentality who was much stronger and much more aggressive than anyone else.
Sam, there's a couple of wonderful pictures in your piece Brino, where basically you can see, like,
yeah, in Denmark.
You can see it's in his face that he's fuming.
Yeah, proper face like thunder business. Like that, because when you play the clip back there, and I was like, what am I going? Oh, yeah, and laughing at. But yeah, he showed me the picture on his laptop at the time. And yeah, it is in the article. It may have tweeted out as well at the time. If anyone wants to see it and can't for whatever reason, just send me a DM on Twitter and I'll send it over. But yeah, he's just in the back row in the middle, just looks so pissed off at coming second. There's another one as well.
Is this where he's the Golden Boot winner?
Yeah, there's
Man of the Match winner.
Man of the Match winner in the final. He scored both goals in the final, 2-2. Because they didn't want penalty shootout at a young age. They just tossed a coin and this team lost.
it seems somehow worse that
he didn't. Yeah, exactly. He didn't seem that pissed off, but I met when I was messaging Alfie about it, because by this point he was just sending me over text messages. I was like, I bet he was pissed off then. And he was like, he goes, yeah, it would be fair to, he goes, it would be right to say that. Because obviously, like I say, Alfie wasn't the one who used to tell me that he was really pissed off, but from speaking to others, I knew that he would be. So I was like, he must have been really pissed off here. And he was like, yeah, that would be fair to say. I like, you can only imagine. Like, imagine losing the game on a coin toss after scoring twice as well.
Yeah. if I have to be honest, I mean, I think that I've never met a footballer who takes defeat in a good way.
Yeah.
Like not even like, I don't know, playing cards. I mean, they just get angry. They just don't like it. They just don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I just think that it's kind of a natural process. Of course, he's now almost 22. He's going to be like more of a rival now than when he's going to be like 30 or something like that. But I just can see it as a good thing, just being this kind of freak and moody when he doesn't win. It's a thing that Pep is going to love, actually. So I think it's going to be good for this group.
Yeah, I was going to say, Paul, it's like it's almost like he's channeled it in the right way, isn't it?
Yeah. Plus, I think that probably being at Dortmund, which is a great club, but probably they haven't won the Bundesliga like every season. They've been knocked out of the Champions League in the recent years. It's been good in terms of like learning how teams can lose, so how learning how to take it. And now probably he's doing like this step at the right time when he has seen both sides of football, probably just to go to the winner side.
Yeah. Finally, Sam, I'm looking forward to eventually when Haaland stops in the mix zone and you're the one with the mic, because just the way that you caveat questions with Guardiola sometimes, just to make sure that they are taken exactly in the spirit that you intend them.
I might give it 18 months to try and work out how to ask the questions.
Yeah.
That's what I've done with basically everybody else.
Just because Alfie here is talking about, you were talking before about what he was like in interviews and about how they were saying about the history of farming in the region. That's what everybody's like in the region. This was Alfie talking about basically what's perceived as Haaland's attitude in interviews.
When Erling short in his answer, he's not rude.
Hmm.
If you ask him, try a minute, Erling, blah blah blah, you had a good game, blah 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 blah, are you satisfied with the match? Then he was like, yes. Why should he tell more? So, but that doesn't mean that he can reflect, he can be deep. But if you ask him a question, he can answer in one
to really engage with, yeah.
Yeah, he will do that. So that's, in a way, a part of who we are.
There we are. So I can see you finding those questions, you know.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we've had loads of practice with De Bruyne. Because if you ask De Bruyne a stupid question, he'll kind of... He won't be rude about it, but he'll just be very honest. Like, I remember before City played Tottenham at their new stadium. Did City play at Wembley the weekend before? Yeah, they played Brighton in the FA Cup semi. And he did the mix zone. And somebody was like, how do you think like the new Tottenham stadium will affect the game or whatever? And he was just like, I don't really care. It's just a stadium. Like, the pitch is still the same. And it's that kind of thing. I think De Bruyne was a good kind of warm-up for dealing with Haaland. And the thing is with De Bruyne as well, it's like he can give quite short, not very insightful answers, but if you really tap into him and get on the same level and ask sensible questions, he's a brilliant talker. I wonder if Haaland is the same. I don't get the feeling he is. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a thing of you might have to work hard. And again, going back to talking about Rob Pollard earlier on, it's a good job you had a long list of questions. Some of them were kind of like, oh yeah, look, just the bare minimum of detail, wasn't there? Like when he asked him about his rapping, which by the way is horrific. But
I meant to see if we could play some of that out, and then I completely forgot.
Well, I mean, look, there's going to be plenty of time for Haaland pods this summer.
Exactly.
I mean, thank God he was announced on Monday, because I don't know what we'd be talking about at the minute.
Yeah, Paul, I discovered that the people from that region can be quite short in their answers when I texted Alfie to see if he fancied doing the Blue Moon podcast.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, probably was the best reply that I've seen this month. It's good to know like some new cultures, actually. And as Sam was saying, I think that Kevin De Bruyne gave us like a good insight of how this can be. But probably Haaland, as De Bruyne did, probably he's going to learn how to speak and how to handle this kind of situation and how to become like a good talker as Kevin is right now.
Do you think the focus is going to get a little bit more on him now that he's in the Premier League, Paul?
Maybe. Because I think that when you are in the Premier League, you get like into a new dimension for sure. But I think that he's used to it and he knows how to handle it, because like in the last 2 or 3 years, he's been labeled as the sensation of the new world and he's kind of being okay with it. So I think that he's going to sort it out. Plus, I think that with City, for the first time in his career, he's in a team full of big stars, which is not just going to be him, just the focus is going to be as well on Kevin De Bruyne, on Phil Foden, on, I don't know, Riyad Mahrez. So it's going to help him out as well, I think. But yeah, he's going to be, of course, on like a new stage, but it's just what he wanted, just to go to the next level in all the senses. And I think that City can provide that right now.
Yeah, and Sam, just to finish off, you—I remember doing a podcast with you. Must have been at some point last season where you basically said, "Get everything sorted and then go out and get Super Robot Boy," and they've gone and done it.
Yeah. It is exciting, isn't it? It's one of those things where it just seems like the perfect match. You know, one of the best teams
and
in the world.
season's an age away.
Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah.
Well, like normally at this point in the summer, we're going, God, I'm really glad of the rest. But now I'm desperate for the season to start and to see him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess unless there's some kind of injury problem, I guess his debut will be in Houston against Club America. And again, unless I have some kind of injury problem, I'm going to go to that one. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I'm just genuinely excited. I remember after the Wolves game, you know, the other week when De Bruyne scored 4 and like Guardiola was taking questions on Haaland and talking about it, I was like, it just feels weird. Because for my point of view personally, I don't know. I mean, obviously, Mooney, you'll have a fan's point of view. Paul, you'll have a journalist's point of view. Or maybe like with Messi, like a fan's point of view as well. But like, I was just really keen to see like a big signing like Messi and even like Kane, to be fair. I really wanted to see it because I wanted to see how this amazing team would work with this like extra world-class element to it.
Yeah.
They always, those big signings always kind of fell down. And I just thought, from my own point of view, I was never going to write a story in a way that led anybody to believe that there was a massive chance of it happening unless, you know, it was the day before. And I was also never going to allow myself to get carried away into thinking, I can't wait to see Messi's debut for City or whatever, because City's track record with negotiating these big transfers hasn't actually been great. Obviously, the players they have signed have worked very well. So with Haaland, I was just kind of like, yeah, I wouldn't get my hopes up, but this is the situation. And obviously now it's done. Like it just felt really surreal that Guardiola was talking about it. And it still kind of feels a bit surreal now. And I am just not just genuinely looking forward to seeing him play. And you know I said earlier on, you might just be looking at your mates in the stands going, God, how good is this guy? Like, we'll probably be doing it in the press box as well. Yeah. Just looking to the guy, just looking around, you're like, bloody, this is unbelievable. And I really hope that's the case. Like, I hope it does work out.
Yeah,
well, and I'm sure it will, but I really hope it does.
And 57 minutes into an hour-long podcast, Paul, is probably not the time to drop this bombshell of a question on you to finish. But
go for it.
The obvious question: Guardiola's entering his final year. Does this change it?
Oh wow!
Oh wow! Jesus! I think that it can play a big part in terms of keeping like the squad like in the right mode, in the right state of mind. But I wouldn't say that it's like the definite move. I think that a lot of things still have to happen. I think that even Pep doesn't know right now what's going to be his choice, because he doesn't think too much further. But doing this kind of signings, of course, is like the right track. And City knows it, Chiki knows it, Ferran know it. And that's why they did business quite swiftly, actually. And let's see what else is coming this summer, because I feel that what is going to happen this summer is going to be key to understand Pep's future for sure.
Yeah, well, we'll follow it keenly. That's the end of this week's Why Always Us. Thanks to Sam Lee.
Yeah, cheers. I mean, I was going to apologise to those lads who prank called me at the weekend. I don't know if we've still got time for that.
I completely forgot about that. Okay. Tell us the story quickly.
So it was Saturday. We'd just flown back from Mallorca, like Manchester Airport, genuine shambles. We'd had like three or four hours at the aquarium in Mallorca, flown back, young child, loads of bags. It wasn't like the biggest stressful day, but just long day. I was feeling a bit like run down from like aircon and shit and whatever, being on the plane and whatever. Just knackered. Got home. I was like lying on the bed with my son, like with the England game on. And I was like, no caller ID. Who's this? I was like, hello? And he went, hi, is this Sam Lee? I was like, yeah, who's this? He went, it's Jack. I was like, right. So can I ask you a question? I was like, yeah, but there's no guarantee I'll give you an answer. He was going to ask the question. He started talking. And then all of a sudden, like, the voice changed. It was like, he just puts the phone over to somebody else. And then somebody else started talking. And he was like, yeah, hi, this is Jack's colleague. And I was like, from where? And he was like, the Times. I just wanted to know, have you got any update on when Haaland's going to be announced? And I was like,
Jesus.
Right. So all the way, I was just like, it's like a really amateur attempt at like a prank call or whatever. Like, it, like, terribly carried out. Like, I don't even believe your name's Jack. Like, you clearly don't work for the Times. When he said the Times, I was like, is somebody from the Times really going to be calling me? Like, what would it be about? And then he was like, an update. I was like, this is bollocks. And when he said, on when Haaland's going to be announced, I just went, no, lad, sorry. And just put the phone down. Because it was just like, I just can't be arsed. I was just severely knackered. It was like, we're going to put our son to bed. We might go and get some food. And then that's it. Couldn't even be asked to get the food in the end. It was just like, I'm knackered. But if he'd have done it any other time, like if he'd have rang today, if he'd have rang the day after, the day before, I'd have just laughed and gone, fucking hell. Like, I might have even said, like, it might be next week. I think they might be hanging around for this or that or whatever. But the funny thing is, I've not even been able to speak about this yet, but it was so mad that everyone was like, announce Haaland, and getting like kind of so worked up, like, oh no, like, he's going to go to Real Madrid. It's like, it's not the pictures on the internet that confirm a signing. Like, what pieces of paper do you think he was fucking putting pen to when he was at the CFA like 2 weeks ago? Like, it's obviously done. And it's funny that, you know, when he did the tweet over the weekend of him as a kid in the City shirt, like, basically every one of my mates is a City fan, like, posted them on their Instagram. And like, I get the excitement element. But it was just weird. I just really didn't get the jitteriness online of people, like, when they're going to announce him. So I would have gone into that with the lads who rang. I'd have been like, look, don't worry about it. Like, whenever it is. Like, it's all going to be fine. It's just, you know, internationals and this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. Basically what Paul wrote last week. But yeah, on that Saturday, I was just like, nah, fuck off. But like, it was like the worst attempt at a prank call ever. So I mean, if they get the courage to call back, just be up front next time. Just go, it's the lads who called you. Can we have a chat? Or just like, try and fool me. Yeah, I mean, you could even say, like, just find out the name of an editor at The Athletic and chance your arm. Be like, oh, yeah, mate, yeah, it's Charlie. I'll be like, oh, okay, what's going on? You sound different, but go on.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on the updates with Guardiola, Paul, as well. I hope your first taste of Why Always Us wasn't particularly painful.
No, it wasn't that bad.
Good solid debut, wasn't it, Sam?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, excellent. Yeah, really good. It's going to be really good next season. And I'm already dreaming of the big season preview that we do. Yeah, it's going to be really good. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it. Don't forget, you can sign up to The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just use the code MANCITYPOD.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.